Next on The Old Mole, Desiree Hilliger's an interview with Cecilia Towns on Black Lives Matter in Vancouver exemplifies the problems of very big towns that are much more like small towns in their politics.
Guest today is Cecilia Towner, who is a founder and organizer of Black Lives Matter Clark County. Cecilia, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking today about the Me Too hashtag campaign, about women who have been sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, and also talking about connections specifically to violence against Black women in Clark County. You know, we've noticed nationally there's been pushback from women of color about the kind of centering of white women's experience in the Me Too campaign. And that seems particularly ironic given the fact that the Me Too hashtag or the Me Too campaign was originally begun by a Black woman named Tarana Burke in 1997. And so this was a campaign that she began and that really, as she's noted and other women have noted, particularly women of color, that this campaign, particularly when it focused more on the experiences of women of color, really did not get the kind of major support that the Me Too campaign got, particularly when Alyssa Milano, the actress, kind of launched it. And Tarana Burke's experience and her work was really erased initially, and then it was kind of raised up. There was an apology for that erasure, but still.
Yeah, it was appreciated that that went over the way that it did, that Alyssa Milano was willing to acknowledge Tarana Burke, although belatedly. And yet the media seems to continue, even after that, to have perpetuated that erasure. And even locally, the Columbian, who was actually told that Tarana Burke was the founder, still continued to say that Alyssa Milano started the Me Too movement. And Black Lives Matter chose to say something about that and educate people about that. And our community has contacted the Columbia for correction, you know, which is a relatively small thing and should be about accountability locally. And to date, that correction has not.
That story in the Columbian ran on October 19th, and on October 20th, the New York Times ran a story about Tarana Burke's campaign, kind of providing that context and talking about the erasure, and still the Columbian did not publish a correction.
No, there's been no correction, and the reporter indicates that the story is considered factually accurate.
Okay. And that story also then kind of raised broader concerns. And you found out some pretty startling data from Clark County YWCA.
I did. So while Black women are roughly 1% of Clark County, we are 37% of the YWCA's sexual assault and domestic violence participants. As opposed to white women, and white people are 87% of the population, and they are 69%. Black women are the next large percentage, and at 1% of the population, it what does that mean is for our community, and who's being served? Why are numbers so high? All of that is really, I think, important questions for people to ask.
So do you want to just tell us what the breakdown is by ethnicity in terms of the women who are served at the Clark County YWCA, which is the only program in Clark County serving women who are fleeing domestic violence and also providing other survivor services?
Absolutely. So the highest demographics for participants of programs is white women at 69%. And the second highest is Black women at 37%, then Latino women at 18.8%, and then Native American women, 1.8%, Pacific Islander, 1.5%, and Asian, 1.3%. And what we need to point out with Pacific Islander and Native American women in particular is they have tiny, tiny percentages of the population. I don't have those stats in front, but something like
0.9. 0.9, okay. So a little bit lower than even the population of Black women nationwide. Certainly Native women, you know, represent, you know, have far higher rates of sexual and physical violence and stalking directed at them. They are the highest population nationwide aside from multiracial women.
Wow.
And to see that the stats in terms of, you know, women actually showing up and receiving those services in Clark County, that I think is startling in its own right. And I just want to clarify that according to statistics from the Justice Department, 86% of rape sexual assaults against Native women are committed by non-Native men. So kind of where are those women in Clark County who are Native going?
One of the things that locally we have to understand is in that there aren't a lot of places that are specifically safe for you as a Black person or as a woman of color to go to. You have to make a choice about, are you going to report? And that was something as traumatic as sexual assault, are you going to be criminalized for it? Are you going to go through reporting and have nothing to gain from it?
Right, so levels of sort of comfort with law enforcement in Clark County might be a major variable, and we really are seeing a tremendous kind of resurgence of white supremacy in Clark County specifically.
We are. We have two white supremacist leaders that have moved here. And one of the white supremacist leaders is a Klansman, high ranking from Mississippi. So it's a place of concern.
But to what extent Black women in Clark County may be experiencing the brunt of specifically racialized forms of sexual and physical violence?
Absolutely. And what are we doing to educate men and boys? Because women aren't raping themselves usually, right? I would like to see our community, both at the level of government and certainly with the YWCA, do more outreach towards reaching our boys and educating them. There's on the Black Lives Matter Vancouver, Washington Facebook page, we just posted a video about some people in Africa that have a program not just directed towards their young boys, but also to their young girls, and teaching a culture of it's okay to say no and how to say no and self-defense for the girls, but also that for the boys that you do the right thing. You don't just stand by and watch it happen, and certainly you don't perpetuate it. And I just think, gosh, that's amazing. And if they can do it in Africa, why are we not doing that here? It's such a simple but critical thing.
Mm-hmm. So. And it sounds like you're also concerned that there be kind of culturally appropriate services for Black women and making sure that they're feeling kind of safe institutionally. I mean, I think that there's some data that demonstrates, at least anecdotally, that Black women are more subject to, you know, higher rates of eviction in shelter environments. And then we have this other question, too, about is there unmet need in Clark County, which seems quite clearly the case, because there are far fewer shelter beds in Clark County than there are in Portland. And so to what extent Portland shelters are dealing with, you know, some of the overflow from women fleeing domestic violence or intimate partner violence or other forms of violence or fleeing to the street.
I do think that brings up that we really do need racialized data reports in Clark County so that we can have a better understanding of what the need is. But we also need cultural competency, hopefully people of color able to serve people of color. But if not, then at the very least a level of intimacy with understanding what women of color go through and how it's different over here, especially than the experience a white woman would go through. Even the phrase intersectionality was created by Kimberly Crenshaw to try to explain the black woman's experience, that the levels of oppression that she is experiencing is multi-layered. And so there might be poverty, and there might be domestic violence and sexual assault, but there's also racism. And then that requires a different level of care and compassion. We have to look at women who are having to make these hard choices, and often with children in tow, and quite often to decide to leave. Things have escalated to a place that's pretty scary, and then to be on the streets, which is also scary and dangerous for everyone concerned. And you can't really understand the dangers of it until you're in it. And to then also look around and look for support and not see it. And then if you try and find it, most people don't realize that you run out of beds, you run out of food, you run out of money, you run out of everything. There's legal aid has been chronically cut. There's not very much left in terms of resources that way. And that's going to be if you're escaping from a domestic violence marriage per se. That's really complicated if you have kids, because the kids can be used to keep you, to pull you back into that situation.
And how might other kind of patterns of housing discrimination also impede then black women's ability to move out of those limited shelter spaces that are available? And I just want to be explicit too that, as far as I know, the YWCA is the only shelter in Clark County that's specifically providing shelter to women fleeing intimate partner violence, and they only have a total of 24 beds. So there's a serious unmet need across the board.
Across the board. And you know, for black women, and honestly for all women, we don't have, it's not something we're centering. And the Me Too movement is an opportunity to start addressing that, to start saying, all right, let's find some solutions. And before we can do that, we need to have the data and a demand for accountability. So the work to be done over here in Vancouver, Clark County, is tremendous. It needs to start yesterday.
My guest today has been Cecilia Towner, who is the founder and organizer with Black Lives Matter Vancouver. Thank you, Cecilia.
Thank you.
This has been Desiree Helligers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.